Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that, Lord, your word is there for us to help us to grow, Lord God. And I thank you for the message that you put on Kenny's heart today. And I pray that your anointing would be upon him, Lord God, as he brings forth your word and your truth. Lord, make it come to us clear, Lord God, and that's something that would just dive right into our hearts and help us to grow in your word and in your truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? All right, as Pastor John had said, I've been preparing for this teaching. He told me it was a week ago. Yeah, my son's wedding. So, by the way, he says, you're up next. I said, all right. But you always know to be prepared in and out of season with Pastor John. Right, Pastor Don, Bob, actually anybody, we should be prepared in and out of season. Speaking about being prepared, as they mentioned, that we're going to be starting up the home groups. Me and my lovely wife are hosting one of those home groups once again this year. And preparing for that, I just want you guys to know that you're going to want to choose our home group. Because the Shekinah glory showed up this week as we were preparing. Not in the way that you thought. We had a little bit of a mishap. I had a little bit of a mishap in that the fire extinguisher was sitting on the bed. When I bumped the bed, the fire extinguisher fell over. Thus, the Shekinah glory appeared. And the basement was filled with a cloud of smoke, dust, everywhere. I don't know if that was my wife's way of making sure that I cleaned everything in the basement. But that's what we're doing, cleaning everything in the basement. I didn't know one of those things could put out that much smoke, that much dust. And all I could do is stand there and watch it. I kind of just stepped back in the corner and said, okay, this is what it's like to be preparing, right? So nevertheless, it was a week of trials and tribulations. You guys familiar with trials and tribulations? Yeah, Ed spoke about a little bit of a trial and a tribulation with Abraham and his son Isaac this morning. It was really good. I told Ed after he got done, I says, you know, there was so much bread on that table that he had, I felt like I could go home filled, satisfied, that I didn't need to come up here and teach. It was just my way of trying to get out of this, right? But I do like to welcome everybody that's here. And this subject that I'm about to talk about is something that I do believe is on God's heart. I believe it because it is something that's been impressed upon my heart. It's something that me and my wife have experienced with our one son, Shane, getting married. He's now entering a new phase of his life in many different aspects. He's not only living on his own, but he's married. So there's two great aspects that he's going to have a revelation of. And I'm looking forward to all of them. Now, this is the time where he comes back and says, okay, Dad. Okay, you were right. Okay, Dad, you were right. And I just want to see them years come and keep coming, you know. It's part of that growth process where you finally get to the point where you didn't know it all, that Father does know best, and you realize that. But there's something to be said about Father knows best, right? And our Father knows best. He knows what it is that we need. Now, over the last 9 months, he's been talking to us about drawing near to him. And how important is that? One of the things I had to ask myself is, why? What's the goal in drawing near to God? What's the goal in drawing near to God? Is it so that our prayers can be heard? Is it so that the prayers of those that we love and come to know and care about, that they can turn around and be touched by God? What's one of the ultimate purposes of drawing near to God? I believe one of the ultimate purposes for each and every one of us is to get to know him, but to grow in the knowledge of Christ and to become Christ-like. Our goal is to be Christ-like, and if we don't draw near to God, we're not going to be able to do that. It takes drawing near to God to become Christ-like, and that's the ultimate goal. Paul had talked about that. One of Paul's primary personal goals, and this is a personal goal, this is a personal goal for each and every one of us, not just a corporate goal, right? And ministry objectives was to reach greater and greater levels of spiritual maturity and to see all Christians do the same. I've been here a long time in this church, and I know that that's been the heart of our pastor. The heart of both our pastors was not just to fill the seats, but it was to make disciples. There's a difference between filling the seats and making disciples. Right? He says, the goal of evangelism is never just seeing people come to Christ. Indeed, the primary command of the Great Commission is not evangelism, but the making of disciples. Making disciples naturally includes evangelism, but it goes far beyond that. So making disciples goes far beyond that. Far, far beyond that. One of the things that I love about putting yourself or committing yourself to do a teaching is that you're committing yourself to study the Word of God. You're committing yourself to pray. It's either that or you're going to come up here and make a fool of yourself. And how many people know that pride, nobody wants to make a fool of themselves, but you can humble yourselves and you can begin to do the things that God's asked you to do. Ephesians 4:12. Let's look at Scripture and see what Scripture has to say about this. It says Ephesians 4:12 and 13 says, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We just talked about it, to equip his people for works of service. Wasn't there a call that went out for works of service? Esther, I believe it was for you, right? Yeah. Works of service, to equip the people of works of service. So it must be, how many degrees do we got to have to be able to do that, Esther? Not a whole lot? Need to be able to follow direction? So it's not really that difficult to be able to do that. But it's part of what God says, that we're to be equipped for works of service. Of course, I'm not picking that work of service because she gets up quite early on a Saturday. Right? We have limitations with the works of service that we're to perform. Right? Does anybody have limitations? Anybody? Yep. I have limitations. God doesn't, though. Philippians 3:12, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul's talking about himself. Has he become mature? Have I become mature? Am I mature? When we think of mature in Christ, who do we think of? Who on this earth do we think of? Who is it that comes to mind? Who is it that we can follow after as they follow Christ? The pastors? Absolutely. As they follow Christ, we're to follow them. And it's said in Scripture that there's a lot of sheep, but there's not many fathers. And I see in this day and age that there's a lack of people truly wanting to be mature, truly wanting to grow and see that growth so that they can emulate Christ-like behavior so that others can truly see what it is, and that is Jesus Christ here on earth. That there's so few. I mean, we're blessed. We have a lot of good teachers here. But that comes from our pastors and them emulating the truth, emulating that it is that growth, as Carol even spoke about, reaching towards that growth. And it doesn't matter if you're 6, 7, or if you're 67. This is something that we can all press on to grow in. All of us can. Colossians 1:28 says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. This is Pastor John's job, to present every one of us fully mature in Christ. It's Carol's job. Good luck. Good luck. I'd say they got some stubborn, obstinate children. That we can be stubborn, obstinate, right? We can be lazy. I don't feel like doing that. We can have an attitude. You mean I have to get there an hour before the teaching and pray? And what happens is we make excuses. Well, you can be 15 minutes late, still come. Where in fact, you can be 15 minutes early so that you're not late. And not make excuses for ourselves. Because in all honesty, a mature person would be early. They would plan their day accordingly, unless there was truly some mishap. But they would plan their day accordingly because it was important, because other people are watching. They're watching all the time what we do, correct? How many people like people watching you? Always watching you, right, Fred? We have people always watching us. Our children are always watching me, right? My children are always watching me. And they know me best, just like my wife. She knows me best. She knows I'm mature, fully developed. What are you laughing about, honey? You even got Carol laughing up here. See, Carol knows me. Right? Now, she knows her husband. Yeah, when you have an intimate relationship, when you draw near, God already knows where we're at. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows where we're at. He's also interested in where he wants us to be, where he's taking us, where he's leading us. And he's leading us on, as it was spoken today so often, he's leading us on in this walk to be led by him, to grow up. Not only for ourselves, so that we can turn around and not be tossed to and fro in this world with all the things that happen, all the trials and tribulations that happen. Every time something comes up, it seems like our foundation wants to be shook. And it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? But he wants us to have a solid foundation underneath our feet. And that's one of the things that really God has impressed upon me for my children and for this church, is to have a solid foundation in which everybody that comes here can stand upon. Because things are going to happen. You're going to be tested, as Ed said this morning. And your faith is going to be tested. What do you believe? Are you going to stand upon that? Are you going to turn around and run towards Christ, or are you going to run away? That's the questions that we have to ask. Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm at the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, this is something that I love about our pastors, because they are constantly wrestling in prayer for us. Them and their wives, always praying for us, always interceding for us. Constantly. I think of the scripture of Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for us. That's Christ-like for them to do that for us. For their heart's desire is for each and every one of us to grow up, to be mature. That's our heart's desire, that we can trust, as that word was spoken, that we can trust in their desire for us, that we can turn around and grow up. I'm thankful that God's given us that. 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. This is a wisdom that God gives. He grants to anybody that asks. I have to ask for wisdom. I ask for wisdom about this teaching. I ask for wisdom every day. Because that wisdom is what enables me to turn around and discern and hear God's voice. It's what enables me when I read the scriptures, when I hear the word of God being taught, preached. It enables me to turn around and discern that. To be able to take that word, partake of it, and make it part of my life. To make it real. Not just something that I heard, but make it real to me. So what does this mean? What does it mean to be mature? How does that make it real to me? Does it mean that as long as I'm more mature than Tyler, I'm okay? Does it mean if I'm more mature than Fred, I'm okay? The maturity that we're talking about and the standard we're talking about is Christ. To be mature is to be Christ-like. And that's our heart's desire, is to be Christ-like. James 1:2-4. This is one that we all love. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and lack in nothing. So you don't want to be lacking in anything. So we were to count it pure joy. Okay, so I had trouble wrapping my mind around this. We're to count it pure joy whenever we face trials and tribulations. Who's been able to do that? I think about it, I'm like, okay, how am I supposed to count it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds? Because we stop right there. And we don't finish reading or understanding the word. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and that perseverance finish its work. So there's a work that has to be done in the midst of that trial. There's a working that's going on. Do we like it? Possibly not. The joy is seeing what it can produce. The joy is set before you. What will it produce? What it produces is a maturity if we let it finish its work. Bob had talked about people that have come and they haven't finished the race. They haven't completed the work. They lost hope. They thought, it'll never happen. God wants each and every one of us to finish that race. Romans 8:28-29 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So this maturity is a conforming to the Christ, to what it is and how it is that he acts. And that's difficult to do. We have to be able to overcome our flesh. And here it is, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. There's nothing wrong with having that milk when you're first saved. Why? Because somebody else is always taking care of you. That's the neat thing about it. Somebody else is always feeding you. Somebody else is always taking care of you, keeping you safe. And you feel safe in that sense. Right, Alex? Jaden feels safe. He has many people taking care of him. He's loved by many, and there's always somebody wanting to feed him, take care of him. But at some point, he's going to have to grow up. At some point, he's going to have to learn to take care of himself. This becomes a personal walk with each and every one of us, that we're going to have to personally learn to take care of ourselves, take responsibility for our life. We're to be able to respond to the ability that God gives us to take care of our life. All we have to do is respond. He gives the ability. He gives us the ability to do the things that we need to do. One of the key words used here is teleos, having attained the end, purpose, complete, perfect. It was used of a full-grown, mature adult. Our goal, the goal of God in drawing near to him, is to become mature, to grow, and continue to grow. So what does that entail? That's the question that I was asking. What does it entail? Does it entail showing up on church on Sunday? Some would think so. Some learn so well they only have to show up on Easter, Christmas. They got it down. Yep, they show up on Easter and Christmas and they're good. They've grown, they've matured. That you probably won't see them till next Christmas or Easter. Because of what? Because of the lack of wisdom, the lack of understanding. One of the things about maturity is that you have to be teachable. That you haven't reached the end. You haven't completed the race. That there's always something more to learn. That Christ, in his fullness, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to reach that. But it's something that we reach for. It is definitely something that we're to reach for. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Solid food is for the mature. So what do you do with that food? Bob, if you were to go out to Morrow's to get a steak, would it be enough for you just to look at it? Would it be enough for you to hear it cooking?
No.
No? What would you want to do with that steak once you looked at it and it was cooked?
I would want to taste it and see if it was good.
You would want to taste it and see if it was good. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good, because he is. Would you go back for more?
If it was good, yes.
Even though it cost you everything. Even though it cost you everything. It would probably cost you everything. What is it that we're going to lose? We could forfeit this whole world, but to gain Christ, that's the prize. It may cost you. Matter of fact, it will cost you. It's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to lay your life down. You're going to have to trust God to give it back to you. Just like we talked about this morning, Abraham trusted God to give Isaac back. And we have to trust God to give our life back. After all, Father knows best. He knows what's good for us. Right? Corinthians 2:6 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." There again, it says, "But not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Wisdom comes up often. And we hear it all the time. It talks about how wisdom falls on deaf ears. That we can hear a message, we can hear wisdom, and we can walk out of here, and it can fall right to the ground because we don't do anything with it. And it takes wisdom to apply understanding and knowledge, to seek after it. Growth and maturity do not occur naturally, does it? How many here have grown just sitting in the pew listening to the Word of God? Have you? To an extent, you may have. You may think, well, this is it. This is all that's needed. This is all I need to do. Right, Jesse? That's all you need to do. Come here, listen to your dad, teach again. As your brother would say, I hear this all the time. And you'll continue to hear it all the time. It's good to be reminded. To be reminded that wisdom is something that we have to apply. You have to apply studying and reading the Word for yourself. One of the things that lacks is not just prayer in this church, in this United States today, but it's the reading of the Word. We lack the reading of the Word. That we get so caught up in the cares of this world. I can guarantee you that we get caught up in the cares of the world. The Bible talks about this. That a lot of times we come home and the last thing we want to do is work or study or read. We go right for the TV. I don't want to think about nothing. And we go right for the TV. We go for some other form of escape, so that we don't have to take responsibility or understand our situation. By understanding our situation, we might be able to do something about it. Wouldn't that be a novelty? To do something about your state, about your situation, of where you're at. Does everybody here satisfied with where they're at? Everybody here got the marriage that they want? Couldn't be any better. You got the kids that you want? They couldn't get any better. I mean, I got good kids, but they can get better. I got a good marriage, but there's still work to be done in my wife. It's not for me to do. It's for me to pray. That's why I sleep with one eye open. Wisdom. The Word is obviously a key and a necessary element for spiritual growth. Without anybody raising hands, have we spent 3 hours in the Word this week? 2 hours in the Word this week? Have we spent a half hour in the Word this week? Did we pick up the Word when we didn't have to study to teach? Or did we only pick it up because we knew we had to study to teach? Yet, the idea of drawing near to God is a lofty idea. Doing it, the practicality of it is that it does cost you. You got to pick up the Word. You got to read it. You got to study it. 15 minutes. Did anybody pick up the Word for 15 minutes? Don't raise your hand. Prayer. How many here prayed for 3 hours? I said not to raise your hand. We all know who raised their hand. It's sad when you have to start out, well, if we could just start by praying 10 minutes a day. Wouldn't that be nice? Just 10 minutes a day. And this isn't for us to feel condemned. This is just part of us looking at what's happening. Taking stock of where we're at as a person, as a church, and where we want to be, where we want to go. What we want to be like. How do we want to personify Christ 5 years from now? What is it that we want people to see when they're looking at our life? You know, in reflecting back with Shane getting married, one thing that I really enjoyed is when me and my wife would be called upon to teach or study, and even times that we weren't, we did it in the kitchen, we did it in the living room, where they had to pass by all the time. So they would constantly see us studying and reading the Word, and then we would ask them questions. Hey, what do you think about this? It was something that was lived out in front of them. And that's something that you want to do with your kids. It's something God wants to do with us. He wants to live this life in front of us so that we can see who He is. Though these, He has given us this very great precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped corruption in a world caused by evil desires. He's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Lord Jesus. Now, we've come to in America thinking that that entails us listening to a 45-minute sermon from somebody and that's it. That's the extent of that. Out of that 45-minute sermon, one of the things that one could do is get the CD, go online, listen to it again. I remember Ed had mentioned an example this morning about Kim and Kim cutting hair and her having the license to cut hair and having classes and going from one level to another, to another, to another. And thinking about that, would I want somebody to cut my hair that's never cut hair before? Well, my hair, yeah, it'd be easy. Would my wife want somebody to cut hair that has never cut hair before? No, she likes going to Kim. I found out recently, you guys like my haircut? It's really good. Yep. Pastor John and Carol's daughter does it, Jamie. I found out that she's maturing. She went to another level. Yep. It not only cost her because she had to study and whatnot, but it cost me. No more half-off Fridays. I'm like, really? She goes, well, it's good news for me, but for you, well, we'll see. I'm like, I've come to enjoy knowing that I can go in there and she's able to cut my hair without even asking questions. She knows what I like. She knows what it entails. That I'll still be going to Jamie. It's like, okay, now you've ruined me. I've tasted and seen that I don't have to worry about my hair. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to go to God. It's a good thing to get in His Word. If you think you're going to skate through this life in the midst of the trials and tribulations that you face, without the Word of God, good luck. Because even with the Word of God, you're going to be tested. You're going to have to stand upon that word. You're going to have to know him in an intimate way to be able to stand, and not only stand, but have joy in the midst of it. It's not that you're not going to be concerned, but when you're concerned with the situation, what do? You turn to God. In John 17:17, it says, the Lord prayed for the church and said, sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. The reference to sanctify or sanctification is fundamentally a synonym for growth and maturity, and expresses the Lord's objective for all believers. We're to be sanctified. We're to be growing. We're to be mature. Now, I find it interesting because one can mature faster than another. How could that be? How is it that one can mature faster than another? Depends on what they're doing. If somebody is in the Word and they're diligently seeking God, consistently drawing near to him, praying, washing their mind with the word, you're going to see a growth that takes effect. I think that's so vitally important in this day and age to grow, to be a mature Christian, to have the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, to be able to answer life's questions when things combat you. To be able to help others. It's not just to mature, it's so that we can be that light to others, so that we can have that godly counsel. It's so important to have that. How many people here influence somebody? Anybody? Everybody influences somebody. Even if you didn't raise, you influence somebody. Your actions influence somebody. You can't get away from that. This young lady right here, her actions influences her friend, whether she even realizes it or not. The word that came forth was the two girls that got off the swing, their actions had an influence. Now, some took that influence and went negative with it. Some will run after them. But it's going to have an influence. This word coming forth today is going to have an influence on you. For some, as the word came forth, as Betty said, some are going to try to grow. They're going to try to apply themselves. Say, this is a season for me to grow. And I want to see the results of that. I want to see the fruit of it, as Pastor John talked about. I don't want to see the flowers on the tree because that looks pretty. And the flowers do look pretty on the tree, but if it doesn't produce fruit, as we well know, then it doesn't matter. It's just something that looks pretty. We got a lot of pretty-looking Christians out there. People that want to look pretty. I'm a Christian. Look at me. But there's really no fruit. There's no substance. There's no character. Because, you know, at the first sign of testing, you'll see what somebody's made of. You'll see what they're made of. When a marriage is tested, you'll see what it's made of. That's one of the things with Shane getting married and Cassie, is to put God first in the midst of that marriage. When we lose sight of that, because the testing comes, then your foundation begins to crumble. The nice thing about that is, what do? You put God first again. Say, okay, we took our eyes off Christ. Let's put him back in the equation. Let's put him first. Let's put him first in our life. In Revelation, it talks about how the word was coming forth to the churches. And God was giving each and every one of them a word of correction, just a little nudge. You're doing good. There's just this one thing you need to work on. And that's what we need to be able to do, is continue on. Does this maturity or growth, does it exempt church leaders? Eddie, are you exempt from growing up? You exempt from seeking God? Do you still have to keep pressing on, pressing in? Right? You got a teaching prepared? I'm getting there. Bob, you got a teaching prepared?
Yes.
Fred, you got one prepared? Something about that tone didn't make it sound as confident as the rest of them. Tyler, you got a teaching prepared? We ought to have a word for the hope that we have. We're all to have something to share. Pastor Don is known for calling people out. What's the word? What's God doing in your life? I'm not going to call nobody out. Only because I don't want to be called out. As if that's going to help me, right? Because once you do that, then you know you're going to be called out. Tyler, you better get that word prepared. Eddie, you need to finish that. Bob, you're going to have to quit reusing the ones you already got. We're on to you. I mean, you said it yourself. Well, I got tons of teachings. I'll pull one out. I'll rehash it. Yep. Pray over it. All these people, they've forgotten, right? It's not like we don't need to hear it again. We do. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. We talked about this. This is a pastor's appreciation. They work hard. We don't even have an idea, and I really don't want to. I don't want to without the anointing that comes with it. But with that anointing also comes, as you well know with Paul, trials and tribulations. Life happens, and it happens to them. Yet, they have fixed their eyes on Christ, and they have walked in a Christ-like attitude in the midst of all of that to be an example for each and every one of us. I do well to follow after Pastor John and Pastor Don. I always have. And I do well to have grown in the Lord, to not only be able to be one that they sow into constantly, but to be able to assist in the building of the kingdom. To be able to assist in the building of the kingdom. And it doesn't matter if you're the pastor or if you're going to be helping Esther, to be able to assist in the building of the kingdom. There's no, oh, this position's better than this one. The fact that we were chosen to assist in the building of the kingdom. Yes. We're chosen to assist in the raising up of our kids. We don't have to do it alone. We weren't asked to do it alone. We're asked to do it as a body, as the body of Christ. I did not have just me and my wife's input into my kids' life. We have the major influence, but our friends, the pastors, have influenced their life tremendously. And I'm thankful for that. Because the growth then that was able to happen was exponentially there. Because I can only do so much. My wife can only do so much. But with others that they are able to emulate, others that they see being that authentic Christian, when they look to Ed, when they look to Brian, they look to those that are they're over them in the Lord, and they seek after that, and they have relationships with them, and they submit to that. That's awesome. We got the band of brothers coming up, and I would highly suggest that all men go. It is an awesome thing to see in so many different aspects. Because you have these men of God that have laid down their lives over the years to bring forth the word and the experiences that they have. And we get a glimpse of Christ. And the one thing that I thought all the years that I've been going is, what's going to happen when these men die? Go to heaven. Who's going to carry it on? Who's going to do it? God said, well, maybe it'll be you. I said, no, I'm not doing that. It's hard enough getting up in front of my church family. Get up in front of all those men? Are you kidding? And I thought, well, then who would do it? Who's going to build his kingdom if it's not us? Who's going to grow up if not us? Are we waiting for somebody else to do it? Because it needs to be us. It needs to be Jesse. It needs to be Joshua. Ed. John. It's us. Is there a plan B? Is there going to be a generation that does not grow? We've heard that story before. A generation that wanders in the desert. You guys feel like you're in a dry, arid place? That there's no life? There's a song that Wayne Watson sings, and it's called A Table in the Wilderness. His presence is even in the wilderness, if we seek it. If we seek it, if we seek him, we'll find him. In the midst of that wilderness, we will find him. We had some news this week, besides the Shekinah glory showing up at our house. I don't know if this is a president's or whatnot, but it seems like come late September, early October, I find myself unemployed. So I'm unemployed once again. But in the midst of that, you can still seek God. And it's important to seek him in the midst of those situations, those trials. How do you count that pure joy? Count it pure joy because of the foundation that's been laid. Because you're standing upon a rock solid foundation in which you can turn to God and he hears your prayers. And in his might and his glory, he brings peace to your situation. He calms the storm, as we sung about. He calms it so that you can see above the waves. No, we want it calm. We don't want to ever have to experience that. No, he calms it so that you can see above the waves of this world. And you can take that faith and you can put it in him. I find that to be amazing. I find it to be something that I desire. In the midst of that, that you desire to be able to have that relationship, to have that ability to run to him, to go beyond, to go higher. For some, it'd be something that they'd be really upset about. They'd be shaken. Like, what am I going to do? The world's just been turned upside down. God's always been in control. The world's not been turned upside down. And once you begin to listen to him, it enables me, which I haven't been able to do for a while, because of the time constraints that the particular job put upon my life. The hours that I had to work. The days that I had to work. It seemed like it was just sucking the life out of me, and I didn't have a lot of time to spend with my family. I didn't have a lot of time to get into the Word. And that, for me, was not an option. I didn't mind when it happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I got to get a job, my wife says. I'm still working on this retirement thing, Bob. It's just not happening yet. But in the midst of that, you have to be an example. Being mature is that you have to be an example. Now, I always wanted to be the example of the one that had all kinds of money, got to go on these vacations, and just loved God with all my heart. If I had my choice, this would not be my example. I'd be like, is there another way? Can you take this cup from me? Why do I have to be this example? Why not? If you can trust God for one thing, you can trust him for everything. Why not? Why not? I just want to be an example of what it is to be Christ-like to my family, to my coworkers, to my church family, and to those out there. That's my goal, is to be mature in the midst of it all. And I thank God for that. So our goal should be to be mature. Drawing near to God should enable us to begin the process. It's a process. You're not going to arrive. If we draw near to God this week, we're not going to come back next week fully mature. Sorry. We're not going to have attained the prize completely. But I can guarantee you this, if we begin the process, if we begin the journey of pressing in, of recommitting ourselves, rededicating ourselves, truly looking at what it is that matters most in this world, what it is that's going to have a sure foundation in every aspect, and ask ourselves, is this what we're doing? Is this worthy of our time? Is this worthy of our energy? You can't go wrong. It is worthy. Our lives are worthy to give over to Him and what it is that He has for us. Even if it means just asking, so what do you have for me, Lord? And if you don't know, it's real simple. Ask Pastor Don. He'll have something for you. Right? Esther has something for some people right now. Come and serve. Humble yourself. I'm sure there's teachers needed in the Sunday school. There's always a need. How many here don't think that they can teach? How many rely on God to do it? You're always to rely on God to do it in everything that we do. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Can I have the prayer team come up? If any of you guys need prayer, please feel free to come up. We got Donna's on the prayer team today. Eddie, don't you know that you're on the prayer team today?
No, I didn't.
I told you, you got to be prepared in and out of season, brother.
No, I'm here.
Amen. Here comes some more. If any of you even have a hint of wanting to grow, I highly recommend that you get prayer. It's like, oh, man, I want to. Okay, I'm out of here. This is a sign. This is a showing of, Lord, you know what? This is a season. It was spoken of by Betty even before I gave the message. If God's tugged on your heart at all, if it's just growth in a certain area, something that you want to see growth in, get prayer. Let God be God. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for your word, Lord God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that indwells us, Lord God. Father, I ask that your anointing would continue to be here, continue to be upon these people, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that you would turn around and remove every impediment, Father God, from our lives that would cause us not to draw near to you, Father God. Father, that as your word comes forth, that we would hear it, Father God. As we see, Father God, the different individuals in our lives, that we would see you, Father God. Not their faults and their frailty, Father God. Not just their weakness, but we would see you moving and having your being in them, their strengths, Father God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, have your way here today. Amen.